Hello, everyone, and welcome to Masters of Digital Transformation, a podcast from AIM10X dedicated to uncovering the stories behind the world's leading change agents and most valuable learnings from our community of global innovators. I'm your host, Caleb Masters, and as always, we're here to provide you with actionable insights from today's greatest thought leaders to guide and accelerate your journeys. AIM10X is a knowledge and networking hub for leaders passionate about digitally transforming enterprises for better decision-making and a better planet. You can learn more by heading to aim10x.09solutions.com. In today's episode, we'll be joined by Radu Palamaru, the Managing Director at Alcott Global and the Global Head of their Supply Chain and Logistics Practice, to discuss how to make the supply chain a boardroom topic. We'll start by talking about how supply chain leaders can gain and retain their influence in the boardroom given their unique position in today's business. We'll also cover the role talent management plays and the ongoing pain points felt by supply chains. And then we'll close out the conversation by talking about the critical lessons from supply chain leaders in Radu's book, From Source to Sold. I won't keep you in suspense. Let's get straight to today's guest, a guest who really needs no introduction. Radu Palamaru has been working on C-level and top management executive search assignments with top Fortune 500 companies and local conglomerates, particularly for manufacturing, logistics, transportation, supply chain management, and e-commerce. A frequent speaker at industry conferences, Radu is the co-author of the best-selling book, From Source to Sold, a compilation of the best leadership case studies in global supply chains. He is also the host of the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast, which is consistently ranked among the top five global industry podcasts. Radu, welcome to Masters of Digital Transformation.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course, we're going to be talking a little bit more about how to make supply chain a boardroom topic further in today's discussion. But before we get there, I want to learn a little bit more about how you found yourself in this position at Alcott Global. It seems like you've had a really exceptional career so far and just getting started. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. What led you to the world of supply chain?
I wish I could say that it was a very planned and thought through decision. I would be lying though. So like most things in my life, it was fairly accidental and random. I started my career doing training, development, public speaking, leadership type of trainings and executive coaching. Then I went and did my own company, failed miserably, went bankrupt. Then I did sales for a while and some more sales. And then at some point, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whilst I was doing sales for my former company, I met the guys that hired me in my first executive search company. They had just set up Singapore. They were coming from Europe, had no clue about Asia. And I joined executive search. So I said, how hard can it be? Well, after I joined, it turned out, I was in Singapore at the time, 4,000 separate individual executive search / recruitment, mass recruitment companies in Singapore, and roughly about 30,000 individuals activating in the field. Singapore is about 5 million. 30,000 population of recruiters would probably make it one of the highest percentage of density of competition. And recruitment and executive search really is, what's your added value? What's your unique selling proposition? Do you have a phone? And can you speak? Like, that's kind of barrier to entry to become a recruiter. So I found myself very soon in a red ocean of exec search. And then, very frankly, again, I basically landed my first client within the realm of logistics. Being a curious person by nature, I then dug deeper and deeper and deeper. And now fast forward for today, 10 years later, one book later, many different events, podcasts, huge network of people within supply chain. I would say that now I do understand and I do know what supply chain is. And we are obviously a different company now than I started, Alcott Global. We are specialists in executive search in supply chain. But as I told you, it was a fairly random process and one that I could not be more grateful that I fell into.
Why do you think, especially when we think about talent management and finding and hiring the right talent, has become such a pressing challenge for many supply chains?
Probably it's always been, to be fair. Ultimately, I'm a strong believer that it's people and not technology that makes or breaks companies. I do know that we are talking about digital scale here on the podcast. But ultimately, the best tech in the world will always fail if people are not on board with it. So I do believe that has always been a pain point or challenge or important thing, finding the right talent. What has completely accelerated and perhaps double-clicked in the last couple of years has specifically been the fact that in supply chain, there was a huge stress on the talent pool. Why? Well, COVID happened. The whole world went a little bit berserk. And the people that kept it moving were the supply chain folks, but also that meant, as well, everybody was a bit, their lives and our lives was a bit out upside down. But the supply chain folks per se, they had to work 24/7 to keep things moving, to fix all the different problems. And it's still fairly messy, but now, okay, we are starting to see the light. So because of this extreme workload, pressure, and so on, also the churn of people getting burnt out accelerated, number one. Number two, also companies realize that, hey, look, I mean, you know, we can have the greatest technology, we can have the greatest product. Ultimately, if you can't make it in time and deliver it to your client, you're out of business. So the importance and the essential nature of supply chain got really, really evident. Hence, also companies and CEOs and boards realize, holy moly, we really need to put emphasis on this and make sure we have the right people running it. So these two elements, right, the fact that there was a huge stress on people, talent in supply chain, and some decided to, okay, I need something else, or let me change, or maybe let me take a break. And two, companies realizing that they need to change perhaps or upskill or upgrade their talent made it even more of a priority. And also the fight for talent became and increased significantly in the last couple of years.
You found your way to a supply chain doing a number of different things. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about what would you say is the biggest challenges that you faced in your career?
Like they say, the best captains are not forged in smooth sailing. They're forged in stormy weather. So I think challenges are good if you don't get killed whilst navigating the storm, but that's a different story. I would probably say the beginning of my executive search or career was the toughest, because again, one, I had never done it before. Nobody wakes up or dreams when they were 5-year-old, you, me, my son, my daughter, nobody thinks, I wish one day I become a recruiter. Nobody. Like, you know, we hope to be a doctor or a policeman or rocket scientist, or not a recruiter. However, so a lot of people like myself find themselves somehow accidentally stepping into it. 30,000 people in Singapore is super, super saturated. Yeah. So basically, when you go to the market and you have 100 sellers selling tomatoes and sitting next to each other, probably it's pretty tough to create some sort of unique selling proposition, blue ocean strategy of why are your tomatoes so special? And that's basically what I found myself in. And if I'm to be honest, I probably wanted to quit 1,000 times within my first 6 months. Luckily, I didn't. I was blessed that, you know, I had a very good team, very good manager, very good colleagues that supported me. And we pushed through and that continued. So, you know, in the first 2 years, probably I then wanted to quit 2,000 times. It's a little bit like wine. Yeah, the more you stay, the better it gets. The network increases. For me, I am high on extroversy. I love people. And for me, that's what keeps me going, because the people of supply chain are, of course, I'm biased here, but one, I find them to be extremely genuine, down to earth, by and large. And not everybody, there's always going to be some that differ, but by and large, get stuff done, practical, people that loads and loads of them have become my friends. So it just became extremely rewarding for a person like me. Plus, if you actually think of what we do, we impact lives. Yeah. So, I mean, not to make it sound bombastic or whatnot, but on one side, on the candidate side, when we place them, we do give them better careers. Yeah. So we help companies better their results, better their teams, better their products. And I think overall, it's an extremely fulfilling role having that small part, right, in matching the right individual with the right opportunity. I'm digressing a little bit and giving you a bit more of my purpose than answering your question only with the challenges. But I would say that has been the greatest challenge. The first years where we had to really work on how do we stand out. I trust that by now, 10, 12 years into it, the fact that we are highly specialized and all the network and content ancillary that we've built around the company, around supply chain, does help us stand out a lot better. That was not the case when we started.
Your biggest challenge was sticking out in the early years, putting in the work to build a really powerful operation for yourself and your recruiting team. And I think that's spectacular. Clearly, you're having a huge impact, as you already laid out, both really granularly with the individuals, but also on a worldwide scale. As you said, supply chain makes a big difference. What would you say is perhaps your proudest achievement?
There's many. And we've now in this many years, we've probably placed hundreds of people. So I think it does make me proud to a certain extent, but definitely fulfilled to over the years, right? You catch up and see how they've grown and how they've developed and, you know, how they progressed, and the fact that they enjoy the company, that again gives a great sense of satisfaction of having played a part. I'm not idealistic here. I'm not also saying that all the placements work out like that, yeah? Because it does happen that sometimes it doesn't work out, and you know, for various reasons, the individual is few and far between, but sometimes it does not work out. But most of them do work out, and it's just incredible to catch up with people after a while, and they basically say, oh, because of this move, now I'm, you know, CEO or COO or Chief Supply Chain Officer, or I'm an SVP, and, you know, it completely changed my career to the better. I think that's one. Now, most proud, however, if I'm to think, especially what we've built in the last couple of 5-6 years at Elka Global, I would still probably say is the team. So it's more intrinsically focused. Me as a managing director, it gives me a great sense of pride to see that we have a super team of people that care first about candidates, care about clients, people that work well together. I do believe we have a great culture. We have fun together. We are friends. You know, we learn from each other. We support each other. There's friendly competition, but there's no unhealthy competition. There's no politics. There's no backstabbing. There's no, you know, we built a global organization. Ultimately, Elka Global was started with a handful of people, and now we are quite a few now, and in a global capacity, and we have offices all over the world, on even every continent. So I think that is my greatest sense of pride, first and foremost, the fact that we were able to attract really cool people around us. Richard Branson said it, focus first on having happy staff and fulfilled staff, and they'll make your customers happy. So I really believe that, and I think that's perhaps my proudest achievement.
You're talking about, number one, building a really robust network and seeing others rise and to grow in their career, elevate themselves and their skill sets, but also, again, intrinsically, as you said, building teams. And I think that's just a sign of a tremendous leader. You've obviously have your fingers on the pulse of supply chain executives. What are the pain points they're feeling day in and day out? And one of the areas that I wanted to speak with you more about today was how to make supply chain a boardroom topic. From your perspective, why have supply chain leaders historically been left out of the conversations related to the boardroom or CEO?
So I would probably differentiate pre-COVID and now post-COVID. I would generalize perhaps based also on industries. So certain industries, take FMCG, fast-moving consumer goods, margins are very thin. And then even before COVID, a lot of their chief supply chain officers or chief operations officers, depending on how they call it, anyways, managing end-to-end operations and supply chains, they were already at board level. So in FMCG, I would say this wasn't necessarily a problem pre-COVID. In many other industries, however, I would say that yes, they did not, pre-COVID, they did not have a seat at the table. Historically, this happened because one, supply chain by design actually and by function is fairly new. If you think logistics been around since we started fighting wars and waging wars, so 2,000 years, manufacturing has been around since, you know, the industrial revolutions of the 50s, 40s, and so on. Fairly new on one side. And secondly, a lot of companies, let's again park aside FMCG, a lot of companies did not see it as strategic. It was a cost center. It was somewhere back of the room, make sure that you deliver, make sure that you make the stuff and give it to the customer, get it in front of the customer. Supply chain folks were like, if nothing's wrong, no, thank you. They get calls if something goes wrong, and then they get blasted. During COVID, all of a sudden, boards and CEOs realized, holy camoly, I think I mentioned it before, so we can't deliver our stuff, we can't make our product, our business is in jeopardy. Who can help us? Well, the answer lies within supply chain. So I think in most companies, arguably, COVID was again a blessing in disguise for supply chain at large, because they got a seat at the table. Supply chain got a seat at the table. Now, fast forward to today, are they still keeping it? That's a little bit the nuance, yeah, and the million-dollar question. Because now, again, things have changed. It's no longer that transport costs are out of hand. It's no longer that we have disruption in supply chain at global scale. There's still stuff that are happening. There's still a war in Ukraine, but it's not, you know, it's not the height of COVID where everything is locked. It's not Suez Canal. It's not that. So it's not as prominent anymore. People have a very short memory. And I do remember a lot of discussions where professionals were saying, look, this has been going for a while, this COVID, 2 years, 3 years, right? So I'm sure that people will not forget that easily. And they will not just, when it finishes, they will not just, you know, go back to their old ways. They did. And they did quite fast, right? So from people talking resilience, we got to be resilient. We got to make sure that we have several sources. We got to make sure that, you know, our supply chains are risk proof and so on. They went to cut costs again, cost center, right? What's the cheapest option that you can give me? Very fast. That's exactly what happened this year, yeah, in most organizations. So I would say we do have a short memory, and I would say keeping that board seat is a challenge, or was already a challenge. Some have already lost it. Now, the trick and maybe the natural question is how to make sure that we keep it. And also that was addressed in the book. We're going to talk about the book, I think, further on. Oversimplifying a little bit, but at the same time, I cannot brush aside the importance. How to keep it is making sure that you always talk business. You don't talk supply chain. The people that have lost that seat were the people that got lost in details, in jargon, in telling the board and the CEO how they met their on time, in full delivery rates, how they optimized their factories to the 98%. Nobody cares at the CEO board level about this type of language. They care about how did you help my business increase or do better with my customers, increase customer satisfaction, increase market share. So talk business, forget talking supply chain, link supply chain with business goals. So talk about the business goals, whether it's sustainability, whether it's ultimately cost cutting, whether it is increasing market share. Those are the supply chain professionals that will stay within the board because they know how to speak business. The ones that will lose and have lost their seat are the ones that speak supply chain, speak transactional, and then they lose the CEO and they lose the board, and they basically don't keep that strategic aura that supply chain professionals should have.
Well said. And a lot of times maintaining that spot can be just as hard or harder than gaining it in the first place. Now, related to technology, and I think especially if you're a proactive supply chain leader and you are looking for an opportunity to actually get ahead of any future disruptions, what would you recommend to supply chain leaders who are interested in pitching a digital transformation of their own in order to optimize their supply chain?
First, make sure you're actually addressing a problem. Don't get in love with the tool. Make sure that you're addressing an actual pain of the organization. What do I mean by that? Let's take artificial intelligence, the most overused and end-used topic of this year. ChatGPT is going to take it all. Artificial intelligence is coming for our job. You name it, yeah? Ultimately, I was talking to somebody way, way smarter than I am, Professor Yossi Sheffi at the MIT University. So he was saying that in his view, artificial intelligence is the worst possible place and worst possible technology to try to set up something or company or even projects in. Why? Because one, if you're trying to do that in your company, it's probably very early. Most people say that they're doing something, they're not. Barely. It's not yet been proven to work at scale. And it's not easy to deploy at scales. Anyways, that's one. Two, if you're actually starting a business, you're fighting with Google and Microsoft and people that have multi-billion dollars invested in it. And it's overhyped, yeah? So you have, again, back to my situation in recruitment, you have thousands and thousands upon thousands of people. And they are in love with the tool, AI. They're not in love with the problem that they're fixing. So Professor Sheffy was arguing, go and work for a company for 12 months and see what are the issues that they're facing day in, day out. Then focus razor sharp on fixing one or two of those issues. Whatever tool you need to fix it is secondary. So whether it is indeed artificial intelligence, fine. Whether it is Excel, fine, right? Who cares? I mean, fix the problem first. So I think that's key to supply chain professionals. Make sure you're actually fixing a problem the organization has. And to get buy-in from the CEO and the board, make sure you're fixing their problem. I mean, it's very simple, ideally, and in most healthy organizations, I would argue that the problem of the CEO is the problem of the organization. You got to link it again, right? So case in point, most boards have issues now. How do we achieve our sustainability goals? So you're trying to get buy-in for whatever it is, a new planning software that you're trying to implement. Make sure you're linking it. Of course, I'm not saying lying, so I'm not saying manipulate. But there's always going to be angles in which you can show clear results of how your solution and what you want to implement is helping the board roll. Now, of course, it's going to help a lot of different things within supply chain. But the board doesn't care necessarily about that. So speak to what the board cares about, what's in it for them. And that is probably, again, the golden rule. But I think we should be spending a lot more time on the how do you actually get people on board with the change. An acronym that I like is PPT and not PowerPoint. It doesn't stand for PowerPoint. In every change, if it's to be successful in any company, digital transformation, people, process, technology, PPT. People comes first. So we should be spending a lot of time on making sure, first and foremost, people understand why do we want to change, what's in it for them. Process should be aligned, yeah, because you need to make sure that the communication channels, the tracking, everything is in line. And thirdly, yes, the tech is important. But most people do TPP, and that's where, well, you know, with the best tech, with the best intention, with the best AI, if people don't use it, you're doomed to fail.
Right. I mean, again, going back to the what's in it for me, you've got to do that for the users as well. Otherwise, you have a very expensive, let's say, Ferrari in the garage that you're never going to drive because they don't know how to drive it. You mentioned your book From Source to Sold. I want to dig into that a little bit more because, of course, you have a wealth of experience speaking with supply chain executives. So maybe you could tell me a little bit more about the book. What were some of your goals that you set out to accomplish with the book?
So the book is not seem like I'm taking the full credit myself. So it's a project that Knut Alike, who is a partner at the supply chain at McKinsey, and myself did. So it's the two of us wrote the book. The number one was actually to spread the great examples of great supply chain people doing great things in the world. That was the main goal. And on one side, we were hoping to actually give. I don't want to overstate the importance of the book, yeah, but to give a sense of pride that they are indeed doing and their role is super important. Number two is we wanted to share examples. So the book is really a compilation of interviews, 26 global leaders, whether they are CEOs that came through the path of operations and supply chain, whether they're chief operations officers or chief supply chain officers or CEOs of logistics companies. They are all within the realm of supply chain and they made a career off the back of supply chain. So we wanted to give these different examples of how can you build a super successful career? What makes a great career in supply chain? And how can you also do it? How can you reach the board if you so wish? How can you be a chief supply chain officer or a CEO? So if you want, it's 26 recipes, different recipes because each individual had quite different career paths. And that's maybe what comes to confirm many roads lead to Rome. But it does give a flavor of what could people do. The reader will resonate more with some versus the others, depending on their individual careers and perspectives and lives. But examples of great people in supply chain who made it to the board, who made it to the CEO. And the idea was to inspire more supply chain professionals to be that, to want that, and to achieve that.
I think that's very exciting. And again, just adding maybe a bright future for those who are seeking to move up and elevate and again, maintain that seat at the table for supply chain. To find out the full details there, you must go out and purchase the book From Source to Sold. Well, Radu, we are about out of time, but before we wrap up, is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with who maybe are leading digital transformations?
I would say that, and speaking very loudly to the supply chain folks, and we mentioned this in the book, Knut gives this example. If you're in sales, picking up on sales for sure, if you're in sales and you do one delivery right and four wrong, one order goes well and four goes wrong, you will talk about that one that went well. Supply chain folks, same proportion, yeah? Inversing the outcomes. If you do one wrong and four right, you're likely to talk about the one that went wrong. So my parting thoughts based on this example is supply chain professionals need to learn to communicate. That's the simplest way that I can share. So communicate. It doesn't mean bragging on one side. There's a misconception that, oh, if I talk too much about what I'm doing, I'm bragging. It's not. Bragging is saying that you've done stuff that you haven't done, or you're overstating what you've done. If you talk about what you've actually done, you're just stating facts on one side. Two, because they tend to be engineers, right, who goes into supply chain manufacturing, planning, procurement. Historically, it's more that profile of person that comes from a technical side, engineering side, and so on. They're not necessarily taught sales or influence or communications or PR or marketing and so on. They don't even come from that background. But that is crucial. The way that you communicate about how are you adding value to the business, very simply put. And again, back to what we discussed, right? You want to implement something or change something, talk business, don't talk supply chain. Communication is essential to your career, to getting buy-in for the changes you want to make, for the digital transformations you want to make in your organizations. To get promoted, of course, to inspire your team to do more, to have purpose in what they do and be there every day, day in, day out, and put in the work. So my parting thoughts is do work on your communication skills. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Don't think that because you said it once or twice, people get it. They don't. And how you say it makes all the difference, using simple words, analogies, not ERP, SAP, whatever, three-letter acronyms. In that respect, that will make all the difference in terms of elevating supply chain.
Excellent. Well said. Again, learning how to speak the love language of whoever it is you're speaking to, whether it's an executive, whether it's a boss. I think those are some great actionable takeaway there. Radu, thank you so much for joining us on Masters of Digital Transformation today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning into today's episode featuring Radu Palamaru, the Managing Director at Alcott Global and the Global Head of their Supply Chain and Logistics Practice. If you enjoyed today's conversation and want to learn more from the world's leading change agents, you can join our community of global innovators by heading to aim10x.09solutions.com and signing up today. AIM10X is a knowledge and networking hub for leaders passionate about digitally transforming enterprises for better decision-making and a better planet. To keep up with more episodes of Masters of Digital Transformation, you can follow us on your preferred podcast app, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, and leaving us a rating and a review will help us get discovered by more listeners just like you. You can learn more about the activities and learning opportunities available through the AIM10X Innovators Network by following AIM10X on LinkedIn. To put a pin in today's conversation, I just wanted to share this quote from the acclaimed author, educator, and business person, Stephen Covey. He said, "The real beginning of influence comes as others sense you are being influenced by them. When they feel understood by you, that you have listened deeply and sincerely, and that you are open." Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. I'll be back in our next episode featuring special guest Peter Bolstorff, the Executive Vice President of the Association for Supply Chain Management, to talk about the role talent development and talent management plays in building the supply chain workforce for tomorrow. You won't want to miss it.